Blackhawks Live.
Fire! Score!
Go Blackhawks!
That's hockey, baby!
From the downtown studios of WGN Radio, it's time for Blackhawks Live.
Now we got a scrap. It's going to be Trouba and Riley Stillman. Stillman has Trouba bent over the boards at the Hawks bench. Hit him with a couple of right hands.
He's a really good player. Obviously, he's a young player and plays in D-zone very well, moves the puck very well. You want a guy like that on your team, he plays hard. He'll stick up for teammates, and you really need a guy in the dressing room like that.
Blackhawks Live. Here's Joe Brand with Chris Bowden.
Really thankful that the great Ernie Skatten included that Riley Stillman throwdown with Jacob Trouba a few weeks ago when Trouba laid a hit on Jujhar Khaira. Khaira went into concussion protocol. He has been back, but definitely interested in asking Riley Stillman about a little throwdown with Jacob Trouba. How's it going, everyone? He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. This is Blackhawks Live. You're listening to 720 WGN. Chris, it's been a quick turnaround and unfortunately kind of just more of the same going on in the hockey world right now.
Which game do you want to talk about since our last show? Boy, we're doubling up on shows since the last time the Blackhawks played a game, and it's really, really unfortunate, but hopefully this scenario plays itself out. We are seeing some adjustments in how we're handling this with positive tests, with a lack of symptoms, the NBA going ahead and doing that. We don't know if the NHL will eventually shorten those quarantine times for players who are fully vaccinated and aren't very symptomatic. So, you know, perhaps we'll get to that point here with the NHL decision makers. The NBA made an adjustment today, and hopefully we'll at least see Blackhawks hockey come New Year's Day. They're not playing again until next year now.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest thing. It's the differences in testing and protocols and limitations. And but let's also, you know, be clear. The NHL goes to Canada a lot, So with harsher and stricter restrictions up there north of the border, and then just with more travel being involved across the border, that's what's coming to play a lot too. And that was the thing. Once tomorrow's game against Columbus got postponed, you thought it was pretty much inevitable for that other shoe to drop on Winnipeg, and unfortunately, it has.
Yeah, and so what have you been doing all this time? It's about time you got back to work, Joe.
Yeah.
How was practice today?
Definitely shaking off some rust, like a lot of other people. But that's actually something that Alex DeBrincat talked about at practice. It was kind of good for these guys to release some energy to get things moving after laying around for a couple of days. And, you know, something else that I asked Connor Murphy about was, is it simpler this year to go through this because you have experience going through it already? Or is it more frustrating because, okay, here we go again with all these pausings and postponements? And basically his answer was, it's more frustrating because this year we started getting back into that rhythm of not having those pauses, of some sort of normality. And, you know, you get back to what you're used to, and then everything gets slammed on the brakes once again. But, yeah, for this Hawks team, I think it's got to be extremely frustrating, not only for a two-week break, which it's now come to, but a couple of players started finding their grooves offensively, like Jonathan Toews. That now has to be stopped abruptly again. And just the other part of it, having to bounce back from all this and try to get back into that successive play and move into everything that was working so well before.
Yeah, and I guess the good news out of this, there is no good news when you hear that Marc-Andre Fleury has gone into COVID protocol, and we're not sure how long he has been in it because this is the Blackhawks' first activity since practicing last Tuesday. Perhaps he's already been in for several days, or we don't know if today was the first day that he maybe reported to practice and got that positive result back. But the good, you know, Aqib Talib on the Bears broadcast yesterday made a reference of the good thing about COVID, and there isn't any good thing about COVID, but the good news related to this is these postponements that the Blackhawks have had from their standpoint. They're not playing the games, but if we're talking about a number of players testing positive,
right,
that has not been the case with the Blackhawks. Calvin DeHaan was the only guy previously on that list. He came off today as Marc-Andre Fleury went on. Otherwise, it was, you know, a full boat practice. So evidently it's Columbus and Winnipeg who are having these issues. And, you know, the Blackhawks, in one sense, lucked out with all the difficulties that Nashville was having in that second to last game before the Blackhawks and the rest of the NHL. But for the Blackhawks schedule, they went, away for a while, extended this pause over the holiday break. But, you know, fortunately for the Blackhawks, it appears as though that there hasn't been, you know, a rash of infections here affecting them roster-wise.
Right. And actually, that's a thought that had escaped my mind. That's part of it, too. It seems like the Hawks have been taking precautions and have been going about this the right way. But let's be honest, going through all of this, it just kind of seems like COVID picks and chooses who it wants. And now, even though people are vaccinated, they are still coming down with it. With lighter symptoms, though, of course. But then this whole Calgary game, which is slated to go on the 2nd after the new year, you know, we talked about all the complications of games against teams up in Canada. That's a realistic thought that, okay, maybe they come back and they only play that one game. So you got to work back from that as well. But everything you just had to say about Marc-Andre Fleury, the team was kind of mentioning that today, too. If you're going to be missing your top goaltender, at least it's during this time where the majority of the league is just kind of on a pause right now. Mm-hmm. So they're going to take advantage of that missed time. And like we were saying there earlier, Calvin DeHaan was on a non-COVID-related illness. Then he went to a COVID-related illness. And now he's back from COVID protocol. So, I mean, if you crunch those numbers, it seems like, okay, he had avoided actually testing positive for the virus, or at least after a few other tests had cleared through. But I think it's going to come down to what is the testing procedure going to look like for this league moving forward, because otherwise this is going to continue happening. And it's not saying that's the right thing or the wrong thing. It's just what is going on. The more you test people, the more you're going to have positive tests. And I'm not saying to hide tests or hide positivity, but the Blackhawks are 100% vaccinated, and Derek King even said today the majority of their team is boosted. Mm-hmm. And right now, Marc-Andre Fleury, the only guy in COVID protocol, and that's again just something frustratingly for the Hawks right now, that they are probably doing everything that they could be and should be doing, and yet they're still unable to play a game, and it's going to be hard to get back into that rhythm once play resumes.
Yeah, and at least they have a guy who's ready to slide right in Kevin Lehkonen. He's no Marc-Andre Fleury by any means, but by the same token, he showed a whole bunch of promise last year when given that opportunity, and lately here has been performing very well in net too. So whenever the Blackhawks do get back into action, if Marc-Andre is not available, Kevin Lankinen's there, and Colin Delia had been playing well in Rockford too over his last handful of games. So he got the call up today. And, you know, one thing, error one on me during our last show, because we were talking about the Blackhawks participating in the World Junior Championships, which are now underway. We were talking with Mel Pearson of Michigan about going up against Landon Slaggart and Wyatt Kaiser. Slaggart scores a goal in the first game against Slovakia last night. Kaiser with a primary helper on that goal by Slaggart. But really, I won't say the most important Blackhawks prospect on that Team USA, because, you know, Slaggart and Kaiser have certainly shown well to this point, and Slaggart was part of that gold medal winning team last year. But Drew Comesso, the former second round pick from a couple of drafts ago out of Boston University, he is the starting goalie for Team USA, and he also showed well in the opener last night with 23 saves.
Well, you just took away my question for the free Boykies prize pack giveaway, but that's
this.
Okay.
We didn't go over
that's
this.
All right. That's all right.
Just on the fly, live radio.
We've got to stop creating these questions and figuring out to look up the answer for the question mid-show. But why don't we just go ahead and say what was the score of the USA-Slovakia game last night. If you call in 312-981-7200.
Easy to find.
Easy to find, yes. Give us the score, because Chris already told us which Blackhawks prospect scored the game-winning goal. If you give us the score, you win a Boykies prize pack. Again, be sure to check out Boykies.com. That's BOIKEYS.com. You'll get some biltong, a hat. We've had some very satisfied customers in the past. Again, 312-981-7200. Give us the final score of Team USA's win over Slovakia last night in the World Juniors. All right, we got another break to take, but Chris brought up a good point about Colin Delia getting his return to the Blackhawks roster. We'll go in on that a little bit and what this Blackhawks team did look like before this gigantic break. So we got that. And again, giving away a Boyke's prize pack. 312-981-7200. You're listening to Blackhawks Live on 720 WGN.
Flower is just an absolute amazing human being, amazing athlete. And to be around him, you know, is really, you know, special, really fortunate. So, you know, obviously, you know, it bumps me down, you know, a little bit. But I think for me, my attention and my focus is on, okay, like, what can I learn, you know, from him? He's, you know, played so many, you know, NHL games and, you know, so many playoff games as well. So he's obviously done, you know, very many things right. And, you know, for me, it's like, okay, how can I, you know, kind of like stand on his shoulders a bit, hopefully, and, you know, take some pointers away. So just kind of be a sponge around him.
I thought those were some pretty cool, prominent words by Chris Delia. You're listening to Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. Chris Delia was just recalled up from Rockford. The Blackhawks had to bring him up with Marc-Andre Fleury now in COVID protocol. But Chris, you very well know the saga that Colin Delia has had to deal with over the past couple of years, where Hawks had a lot of goaltending depth, and then heading into this year, it was still kind of a fight for a trio between Kevin Lankinen, Malcolm Subban, and Colin Delia. Then all of a sudden, they go out and they trade for Marc-Andre Fleury. They acquire him, and Colin Delia's role changes a whole heck of a lot. But to hear him say that he looked at that as some way to benefit him, I thought was a pretty inspiring thing to hear.
Yeah, he's been a good soldier through all this. First, it was Robin Leonard a couple of years ago, and then you know, with Lankinen, pretty much winning the job last year, along with Malcolm Subban after Subban was acquired in the Robin Leonard trade. You know, he could go around, you know, talking about how he's gotten the shaft with this organization. And, you know, probably there are moments internally where he does feel that way. But nevertheless, he keeps answering the bell. And one of these days, I think he's going to get another large opportunity, whether it's with the Blackhawks or somebody else down the road. And, you know, he's a couple of years have passed now. So he's not exactly a spring chicken, but he's really been a team player when it comes to that. And from all the reports we hear from both Derek King and everyone else down in Rockford, not hanging his head, getting to work every day, and he certainly expressed that. I know when he was talking with you guys in the media today how, you know, he cannot simply allow that to happen. If he's going to make something out of his NHL career, he can't get caught up in that. It's all about just taking it day by day and grinding it out, and hopefully one day that break will come again for him.
It's also been this kind of common theme with anybody that comes up from Rockford. Now, these are all different circumstances. Brett Connolly, Colin Delia, Reese Johnson, another guy that I remember when he came back up, he talked about just not or fully utilizing that time down in Rockford, not letting it just go and making sure you take advantage of it. Brett Connolly spoke that to the high heavens his first media day since returning to the team. But it was kind of cool to see that constantly be the general assessment for all these players. Like, that seems to be the message. And I remember Jeremy Colleton preaching this a lot, but it seems like that message has continued now with Kyle Davidson and Derek King, that, okay, when you go down there, don't just go down there with a rough attitude. If you think you deserve to be up there, then show it. Then prove us that. But go down there and take advantage of the playing time. It seems like Brett Connolly definitely did that, and he's a guy that could go that whole route of, you know, claiming you should be entitled to more than what the task at hand is at the moment. Now, unfortunately, Brett Connolly's going to have to sit out the next four games after the hit he had on Tanner Caro back in Dallas. But I bring all this up because now that this team and the NHL is going into a taxi squad situation, that could come into play of being very valuable, where these guys down in Rockford are taking advantage of that time so that you might need a handful of guys to pitch in right away rather than just one guy here, one guy there.
Yeah, and it's a tough circumstance, but I think every team And I know Derek King talked about this a little bit today when he was asked about it after practice. You know, do you take all the best guys, knowing that there's a rule in place? I believe it's what 20 days.
Yeah.
If you haven't gotten into an NHL game, you're gonna have to go back down to Rockford if you have not been utilized. So, I would think under these circumstances, with so many teams losing players and so many games being postponed due to COVID, until we get all through this, I would imagine most of these teams are going to be bringing up most of the best players. If it's up to six, so you know, maybe they'll bring, you know, four of the top guys and bring an extra two, so that if you have to work that shuttle back and forth, if guys haven't been participating in games and are forced to go down after that limit of 3 weeks or so, you know, you still want a player who's been playing and been productive down at the AHL level to come up and hopefully help your team if you're under that circumstance where you're trying to find guys to fill in for those who are unavailable.
We've still got a Boyke's prize pack to give away. 312-981-7200. Call in and let us know the game-winning score, the score, two numbers for Team USA beating Team Slovakia last night in the World Juniors. Team USA is off until tomorrow. They're going to play Sweden as they try to continue as champions after taking down Team Canada last year. But again, 312-981-7200 if you can give us the winning score for Team USA over Slovakia last night. Also, Riley Stillman's going to be joining us after the news coming up shortly. We'll talk to him about this pause and the impact he's made on this team so far. Do you got a favorite thing you like about Riley Stillman at all? Or just something that really
He's a good talker.
He is a good talker.
Actually,
you're right.
We had Riley on one of the shows late last season, and I think it was also one of those circumstances where we would have a guest on, and then in the following week before the next show, he would score a goal. And in Riley's instance, it was his first NHL goal. But we had a lot of fun with him last year because, you know, he's got a brother who at the time was heading into the draft, and now his brother Chase has been drafted, was a first rounder this past year. And we were also joking a little bit about the fact that, you know, his dad had a very productive NHL career, and he used to play in the OHL while his dad would be coaching Sudbury. Riley was playing for a couple of other OHL teams, how they chirped each other back and forth when he was going up against his father as an opponent. And now I'm kind of curious to hear, now that his father is an assistant with the Arizona Coyotes, they've only met once so far this year, but Riley had an assist in the Blackhawks 2-1 victory Arizona at the United Center. So I'm wondering if there was any yakking back and forth between father and son after that game in November at the United Center.
Yeah, who's the better smack talker, Riley or his dad?
Exactly.
That'd be a good question to ask.
Yeah. So also anxious to find out, you know, what he did with his time during these 5 days off. Whether there was any type of family reunion, whether that was frowned upon, but. You know, I joke that he's a good talker. We love that about him, but he's also brings a little bit more of a physical presence to that back end. As you played in the highlight, a stand-up guy for his teammates, and a really solid stay-at-home guy, and you know, a nice little acquisition from a depth standpoint on the blue line that he was acquired with Brett Connolly, as a matter of fact, and Henrik Borgstrom, who we've also had on the show a little bit earlier in this season. And Borgstrom, I understand at practice today, was back between a couple of very talented guys on his wing, too, as he returned from COVID protocol.
Yeah, Derek King was talking about how maybe it's not even a matter of who plays center, just that somebody needs to play center in between Alex DeBrincat and Patrick Kane.
But, and how he would volunteer, too. Right?
Yeah, I'd like to see how that shapes out. But yeah, you know, and Derek King's been tinkering lines all year long, and you know, Henrik Borgstrom has been bounced around. Of course, Dylan Strome has as well. But, you know, Riley Stillman, as we kind of circle back, he's just a guy that's been a spark plug for this team. I have drawn out the comparison of him being like Brandon Hagel in terms of that spark plug role. But more importantly, just a guy that seems to be well-liked in the dressing room right away as he joined this team. And we're excited to talk to Riley after the news. Until we get there, we're going to send it over to the WGN News station, and after that, Riley Stillman here on Blackhawks Live on 720 WGN.
The way his attitude, the way he plays, he brings a lot of energy. I always say he's like that junior player, your first year playing junior hockey, you're all over the ice and you're blocking everything, you're fighting everything, you're doing anything you can to stay on your junior team, and he brings that to our team, and it's fun to watch.
That's Blackhawks interim head coach Derek King with some high praise once again for Riley Stillman. I'm Joe Brand, joined alongside WGN-TV's Chris Bowden. You're listening to Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. We're still giving away a Boyke's prize pack, 312-981-7200. The first caller that can tell us, how did Team USA win last night against Slovakia? What was the final score of that game of the World Juniors? But again, waiting on Riley Stillman to call in and talk about this ongoing year with the Hawks, who will not be playing until, as of right now, Saturday. That's New Year's Day in Nashville against the Predators. And at that point, Chris, it'll be a two-week hiatus from playing games. Their last game, it's hard to believe, back on December 18th against the Dallas Stars.
And the day before that was against the Nashville.
Yeah.
It would just figure that the Blackhawks would have to resume play against Nashville, a team that has given them so many problems over the last few years. But hey, it's a game. And who knows? Maybe Nashville will be off their usual game a little bit because the goals come few and far between, unfortunately, against the Nashville Predators, as proven in that game before the Blackhawks fell to Dallas, the only two overtime losses that they have suffered so far under Derek King. But maybe a new year and a fresh start after this pause will help the Blackhawks figure some things out when they hopefully do face Nashville on Saturday afternoon.
And again, coincidentally, you know, the Hawks were supposed to play Dallas in back-to-back games. Now it's going to be, if the schedule continues, Nashville two out of the next three games in their sequence. We now join Riley Stillman, who's joined us on Blackhawks Live. Riley, what's the challenge level been like right now as you guys are basically getting ready for the next game, and the next game keeps getting further and further away?
You know what, it got pushed back there with a bit of a break and stuff like that, and you're kind of stuck in limbo, but guys are staying positive. We got a longer break than we normally get at Christmas for time to spend with our families and stuff like that, so you could feel it at the rink today. Guys are excited to be back, and we just want to start playing again.
Well, how did you utilize all this this time off? I know you hadn't practiced since Tuesday. They told you, all right, get away from it all. We're taking a little bit longer break than expected before we resumed practice on Monday. How was your holiday break, and how was your Christmas? Was there family time involved?
Yeah, there was family time involved, which is nice. And I was able to stay in the gym every day. It's nice that having my brother with me there, there's the two of us. So we were able to be in the gym actually every day through the holiday, which is exciting. And yeah, you're not skating, but sometimes it's good just to step away and kind of use that as a mental reset, time with family, focus on the important things that way before we get back at it.
Riley, it's been a very exciting year for you. You're just making a lot of moments on this team, but I think the biggest one was probably when you went up against Jacob Trouba after he laid the hit on Jujhar Khera in the game a couple weeks ago at the United Center. How did that come about? Was there talk among the bench of, all right, who's going to go after it, and you stand up and say, hey, it's going to be me? Or was that something all on your own doing?
I mean, there's a little... not, but guys know. I think guys wanted a piece of him. There's a couple guy here or there, and I jumped at the first opportunity I could to protect my teammate. Obviously, that's something that you don't want to see with Scooch get knocked out like that, but I didn't hesitate when I had the opportunity to do it because I know that he'd be the first guy over the boards had I been in his position. So I didn't even think twice. I don't know if there's a little talk on the bench. Sometimes there is. Forwards and D are a little different, but I didn't even think twice as soon as I saw him.
Yeah, kind of that an unwritten code, if you will, I think. And unfortunately, you've seen in the span of a couple of weeks a couple scary incidents like that, and it is just part of the game. I think there's not a whole lot of, in Brett's case, there wasn't a whole lot of premeditation. It was just boom, boom, and a guy happens to be looking the other way. How frightening has it been, though, to be, we all know it's part of the game, but to see a couple of those incidents come so close together in games you are involved in, how much does it give you pause, and how much do you have to work a little bit extra hard to kind of set that aside once the incident is over? You wish for the very best, whether it's Jujhar or Tanner Caro, and try to get on with the business of a game. How challenging is that mentally after something like that happens in a game?
You know what? It's tough because we all play hard, right? We're in the position where you want to win, you want to play hard, and you want to do all those things. And not, but it's part of the game. It's not something you want to see. It's an unfortunate sort of part of the game that happens, and it obviously sucks that there's so many close together with Juge and McDonald and then Kiro and stuff like that. So it's obviously scary, and when you see that and you see them wake up and you see them get stretchered off, and you try and do your best you can to just kind of have a reset, take a deep breath, say, you know what, he's going to be okay, let's get back to work here. And it's challenging. There's times where that's hard. I mean, from everything that I've heard with Kiro, he was here in Chicago before, and the way Juge is as a human being, that's a tough thing when you lose a guy like that. But once you know that they're okay and we're going to be okay, it's like, we got to get back to work. We got to reset, however that is.
Riley Stillman, kind enough to join us here on Blackhawks Live tonight. Riley, so many of your teammates and your head coach has had high praise for you. Who's been one of the most helpful teammates for you, though, so far this year?
I think Jake McCabe and Seth Jones have been for me. Obviously, Jonathan Tazen, that pitcher, too, is our captain, is our leader. He's helped me a lot. But with Caber, sort of a bit more style of a play, similar. Seth, obviously, is a little different, but just looking at things different through a different eye, how Seth sees things and how he sees the game, how he moves the puck, stuff like that. And then with Caber, him and I play a lot alike. So to be able to lean on him about different situations has really helped me progress my game and hopefully continue to strive to take that to the next level.
You used the phrase seeing the game a different way. How much has just getting a reset with Derek once he came aboard here? Obviously, a very, very difficult start. And I know a lot of you guys look at yourself in the mirror for things not working out with Jeremy at the start of this year. But what has Derek brought to the table in terms of kind of hitting the reset button here and you guys finding a little bit more success under his guidance?
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, obviously, you never want to see something like that happen with a coach getting fired and someone's livelihood getting, when they get let go. But, and Jeremy was a good person, and I hold him in a very high regard. But having Kinger come in was a breath of fresh air, something that we needed as a group. I mean, we started basically pretty much 0-9. So him coming in, bringing a different energy, bringing a different outlook, like I said before, with how he wants to play, how he holds people accountable, was really nice to have bring into our room and gave our room some life. And we have progressed greatly since those dark days at the start of the year.
Speaking of bringing the room some life, I feel like you've done a really good job of that this year, too. Is that something that's always been a part of your game? Is that something that you feel like you need to actually try to do? Or does that just happen whenever you hit the ice?
I think it's one of those things that just happens for me. I want to do the best I can for my team, whatever that may be, whether that's a hit or a shot or stepping up to protect a teammate or anything like that. It's just something I bring, and luckily the guys appreciate it the way that they do. And I want to bring energy because I think positivity is contagious, right? And when you're positive and things are going well and you have an opportunity to win every night, that's what makes hockey fun.
I know at practice today, it was a good chunk of time spent on that penalty kill, which has taken a little bit of a dip here. So strong early on in the season, but a lot of penalties have been taken, unfortunately, lately in the last several games, and the opponent has come up and jumped up and bit you a couple times as far as that is concerned. Was it just one of these things that usually happens during the course of a season? You're going to have some ebbs and flows with the special teams here and there, and what kind of things were you kind of trying to tighten up here at practice today for whenever you get back into game action?
I think it's one of those things where you just got to tighten it up, take things down to the basis of what they are and simplify it. That's how you come back to have success. There's highs and lows for everything from 5-on-5 to special teams and all that stuff. But you know what? We spent some time today working on forecheck and how we want to play the end zone and just taking it down to the roots of what a PK is and the commitment to that so that we can have success moving forward.
You were saying during the Christmas break you got some family time. Did you get any pond hockey time?
No, not quite. Lake isn't frozen at home right now, so I wasn't able to do that. But it was really nice. A couple of years ago, we were able to do that. Now, with the way the weather is, unfortunately, we weren't able to do that, although I was hoping we could.
Yeah. Well, you said you spent some time with little bro there. How's Chase doing? I was looking up his numbers. He's almost a point-per-game guy in Sudbury this year, and you haven't had to deflate the ego at all now that he's a big-shot first-round draft pick from this past summer, huh?
A little bit. He gets his digs in at me here and there, and I make sure I put him in his place when it comes down to it. But he's good. He's progressing. Their team got hit by COVID, and they're a younger team, so they're coming in the right direction. He's growing as a player and as a person and learning who he is and the style he needs to be turning into a pro here in the next couple of years. So he's taking another step, and the thing with our family is we're looking for everyone to take another step after Christmas.
Well, I'm sure, obviously, you grew up around the game with your dad playing and now coaching. I imagine Christmases of Riley Stillman's past have been very hockey-centric. What can you tell me your best holiday present that was hockey-related and one that wasn't hockey-related?
I think the best present I ever got for Christmas was a hockey stick. I got a one-piece hockey stick because Dad would only ever let me use wood sticks up until I was about 14.
Oh,
so when I saw that one piece underneath the tree, I was pretty excited. And then the other thing I want to, I don't know, my favorite gift I probably got last couple years in a row, actually, I've asked for tools because this is something I want to go get myself. So seeing those under the tree, it made me pretty happy.
Mr. Fix-It, Riley Stillman, I guess. Hey, I remember talking to you on the show last year about, you know, how used to oppose your dad. Well, he was coaching in the OHL. He was coaching for Sudbury, and you were with Hamilton. Oshawa was the other.
Hamilton and Oshawa. Yep.
Okay, and so this past November, when Dad rolls in with the Arizona Coyotes, and you guys end up beating him 2-1 with the help of a Riley Stillman assist on one of those goals. Any chirping involved after that game or during that game?
Not so much during or after. I think it was more my mom giving it to him a little bit here, saying, "Hey, you gotta get going here against Rye." But no, it's good. I mean, he obviously wants the best for me, and I want the best for their team. But at the end of the day, when we compete head to head, there's no friends. He's not my friend, that's for sure.
Riley Stillman here on Blackhawks Live. Riley, we'll let you go, but now you got me intrigued. You've been asking for tools the past couple of years. Are you the handyman, or do you like to build stuff? What's that about?
A little bit. I mean, handyman here and there, but it's something as you grow up you need, and now that I'm at the age coming here, 23, I can't phone Dad, "Hey, Dad, I need you to fix this. I got to learn how to figure out to do it myself." So, but I've always been kind of handy growing up and building decks and stuff like that. My uncle's a contractor, and my dad and I built our dock and our deck, so it's something that I enjoy doing, working with my hands.
Well, good for you. Not only are you a better hockey player than I ever dreamed of being, but you can if you can fix things around the house, you got the upper hand on me there, because I make things worse rather than better.
Us all look bad is what Chris is saying.
It's just being a northern boy. That's what it is.
All right. Well, Riley, thank you so much. Best of luck going through all this. I'm sure it's frustrating, but best of luck at the upcoming practices and hopefully the next game on Saturday.
Will do. Thanks very much, guys.
All right, thank you very much. That's Riley Stillman of the Blackhawks. Man, not only can he...
Tool time with Riley Stillman.
Not only can he re-energize a team, but he can fix a faucet, too. We've got Allison in DeKalb, who believes they have the answer to final score of the USA-Slovakia game from yesterday. Allison, what can you tell me the score was?
It was 3-2.
Hey,
so
look at that. We got people that texted in that gave us the wrong score. Two people, different scores. Not sure what they're searching, but Allison, you are correct. Congratulations.
Well, thank you so much. This is a nice post-Christmas gift for our family. So,
did you watch the game, Allison?
I did not. I did not. Unfortunately, we had a hell of a lot of Christmas going on over the weekend.
Well, you got several more games. This thing runs through for Team USA, hopefully, and the three Blackhawk prospects. Hopefully, it's got a couple of weeks to run here, and they're back in action tomorrow against Switzerland. So good on you to get the final score and enjoy the prize pack.
All right. Thank you ever so much. I'm excited. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. Thank you very much, Allison. Happy holidays. Bye. So she wins a Boykies prize pack. Again, Boykies, it's biltong. It's not beef jerky, but it's just like it. It's just better, healthier for you as well. Check out Boykies.com, BOYKEYS.com. Use the promo code WGN Radio to get 10% off your first order. Okay, we got to put a bow on this show. Chris Bone and I will wrap things up on Blackhawks Live next on 720 WGN.
Yeah, it was. It was nice to just, you know, see the family, spend some quality time with them. My oldest was home from hockey, so it was good to see him and just kind of kick the feet up and walk the dog and just enjoy it.
I'm glad he didn't say kick the dog.
That would have been quite
walk the feet, kick the dog. We don't want that.
That would have been quite the tongue twister of Derek King. Right back to where we started from here, talking about postponements and lack of hockey. He's Chris Bowden. I'm Joe Brand. You're listening to the end of Blackhawks Live here on 720 WGN. Hawks are off still until Saturday as they'll visit the Nashville Predators on New Year's Day. And, man, I feel like the safest game for the upcoming future has probably got to be the Winter Classic. And I don't mean to get ahead of myself or speak like I have some insight, but that game's outdoors. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the safest game for the upcoming future right now.
Yeah, we'll be interested to see how Minnesota does it. And this is obviously real important to the league. It's always one of those trademark events. And when the Blackhawks were involved in those outdoor games, it was always a highlight of the season, even though they didn't have very much success in any of those outdoor games, except for the one in Soldier Field that was kind of like a snow globe, a blizzard, when they took on the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh, yeah.
But, I'm sure there is an urgency that the league definitely wants that game to be played. And I didn't realize until yesterday, 2 days ago, it's a night game. So I thought maybe the Blackhawks were going to be going head to head against that, and that didn't make any sense because the league wants all eyes on that one particular game when it's played. I'm not sure if there are going to be any conflicts this year, but it's a night game up in Minnesota involving two teams that the Blackhawks know very well.
You're absolutely right, and I didn't realize that either. And I don't think there's ever been a Winter Classic where it's been a night game.
Well, I think they have had instances where they've had to push back the start because of temperatures or because of glare. I remember one year it was raining. I think it was a Washington Pittsburgh game, I want to say. Washington Rangers. I can't remember what it was. It was in Washington, though, and the weather was rainy and it was warm, and they had to push it back all the way to prime time. And, you know, even last year when they had those games in that wonderful setting at Lake Tahoe, they had issues where it got warmer than expected, and all of a sudden they stopped the game. What? It was after the first period or the second period at some point, and decided to pick it up several hours later when the conditions would warrant. So usually in Minnesota, you're pretty safe as far as the temperature conditions are concerned for hockey.
That's kind of what I was thinking, too. I've had this thought for a couple of years, and I think it would be way too complicated to do it this year, but maybe in the future, because, I mean, let's face it, these Winter Classics have now been going on since 2008, 2009, I think the first one was, with Buffalo, and then, of course, the Hawks and Red Wings were in the next one. But why not make the All-Star game the Winter Classic? Why not make it that way? That way, you know, a lot of times the NHL will pick the successful teams or the teams that will draw big ratings. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for those two reasons right there is why the Blackhawks were in so many over the past couple of years. But, you know, you get a team and you get a fan base that normally wouldn't get to see one of their players performing in a Winter Classic. And you get to have it in a game that doesn't matter, but I get it. That's some of the prominence of it, that this game does matter and there is snow coming down. But I always thought, okay, take a place like Colorado. You could have the skills competition in the arena the night before, and then the Winter Classic is the All-Star game.
Yeah, interesting thought. I think what it comes down to is marketing, though. The more big events that you can get people's eyes on, and the more you can sell it and the more you can promote it, that's probably, but it is, a real interesting idea. Maybe one of these years, you know, they'll do it in that fashion along with a Winter Classic. Do an All-Star game outdoors as well as a Winter Classic, and it's all an effort to get more eyes on the league as much as possible. So interesting thought. Dear Mr. Bettman, hi, my name is Joe Brand. I have an idea for you. So go ahead, have at it.
Well, hey, I'm all about the gimmicky stuff.
You got Gary on
too.
Speed dial.
I also, you know, I remember a couple of years ago they had a college basketball game on one of those naval ships that landed airplane. Like, I'm all about that kind of stuff, believe me. But I always thought, you know, the Winter Classics have been happening for a while now, and then they started doing the Stadium Series, so it wasn't like the Winter Classic was the only event that had it. But it is something very unique for the sport, and I'm not against it. I'm not here to say I'm against it whatsoever, but I think you're absolutely right. It comes down to money, and it comes down to exposure, and what are people going to be drawn into. But I am excited to see Target Field turned into a a ice rink. I think that's a really cool venue in itself, being a baseball field.
Yep.
I think
yep.
it's going to be a very cool ice rink, too. I take it you went to a couple of the outdoor games that the Hawks have done.
Well, I did go to I only went to the Wrigley Field practice, practice day. But I was at that Stadium Series game at Soldier Field, which was absolutely unbelievable. And, of course, I was at the Winter Classic at Notre Dame, and I was really, really fortunate. They plopped me right down ice level in one of the corners, and so you're there with an entire packed Notre Dame Stadium all looking down on the action just happening a couple of feet away. So I got a couple of checks right in the plexiglass right before me to make sure I was awake a couple of times, and it wasn't that brutal out that day either. It was almost a perfect day for hockey, both overcast and in the 30-35 degree range at Notre Dame. But alas, it was another game where the Blackhawks were outside and they were on the short end of the score, unfortunately. So hopefully they can get back to work here quickly. I didn't see anything. Back at practice tomorrow is giving them a breather since they have this a couple of more days now before their next game. Are they planning on going back to fifth third tomorrow, Joe?
Yes. Practice tomorrow around 11 o'clock. And yeah.
They've been resting too much already.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So have the reporters, too.
And I mean, it sounded like the players wanted to get back at it, too. Yeah. I mean, granted, everyone enjoys a couple of days off, but once it's time to get back to work, it's time to get back to work. And again, you know, John Hansen and I were talking earlier, it's not so much like, oh, a nice break to kind of unwind and take a deep breath, but it's not so much a break when you don't know if you got to work in 2 days mm-hmm. or not. And again, this is just us who talk and cover it.
Those guys are creatures of habit, and you know they're chomping at the bit.
And that's why it's going to be very difficult to really zone in on what the Hawks do on Saturday in Nashville, because hey, these guys have been off for 2 weeks. Nashville's been off for even longer, so it's just very finicky and very difficult to get along with. And you know, unfortunately, the NHL is taking this the hardest right now. Hopefully, it can make a 180 before it gets any deeper.
Yeah, and we'll see if the NHL makes a little bit of an adjustment like the NBA did. But again, you brought up a great point earlier too. There are Canadian teams involved, and we're looking at a whole different view of how some of those things are handled. You have to find a happy medium here somewhere.
So we hope the next time we talk to you, we'll actually have some games to break down.
That would be nice.
If all goes according to plan, we'll be talking about two Blackhawk wins, one in Nashville, one at home against the Calgary Flames. Until then, our next Blackhawks Live will be January 3rd, 2022. A happy new year to everybody.
Happy new year.